Avlapian.
Avlapian is slow. No draw, it's just on the table. You just have to open the door, it's even more accessible. As close as can be, because the door's locked. So. Okay. We're starting the main section of Shaar Shlishi, Sof Sof. And he opens up by saying, don't expect here we're going to have a full comprehensive understanding of all the Kochos and Nefesh. Because we're not coming to learn external names and give names and say this is this and this is this and this is that, and you have like an external map. That's not our goal. Rather, our goal is to try and clarify our inner world from within. So the tools that we're going to be giving are ones where a person can identify himself. And I would even dare to say that there'll be quite little value in all of our learning from now onwards if a person doesn't take these ideas and work them out privately. In other words, if we're going to be learning how to understand yourself deeply, and you come out of this, let's say, next couple of weeks, of saying, I know all the tools of how one could understand themselves, right? But you didn't do that act of understanding yourself, then it was with little value. Although the value that would be was that when you then decide and you're ready to then look into yourself more, at least you'll know the skills of how to do it more. But obviously, putting it into practice earlier from now would be even more beneficial. There are certain traits that we need to bring close, certain to push away, certain times where we have to just accept what the situation is, and certain times where we have to be in a mindset that if this is how it is, I need to change it, and we need to get a deeper understanding of ourselves. He starts off by quoting the Gemara in Chelek, Sanhedrin. Amar le Antoninus, the Rebbe, Gufa Neshama Yochem Liftor Tzaman Adin. So Antoninus and Rebbe, who were Chavrusas, if you like, he said to him, each of the body and the soul can get out of punishment in the long term. While the body can say, it was the Neshama's fault. I can prove it. From the moment the Neshama left me, I haven't done anything wrong. The body's lying in the grave. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just lying there minding my own business. So that proves that anyone who caused me to act inappropriately was all the Neshama. And the Neshama will say the same claim. It's the body's fault. From the moment that I came back to Shamayim, I haven't done anything wrong. So Rebbe answered him, I'll give you a mashal. There was once a field, an orchard with delicious fruits. And there were two shomrim, two guards there, who were set up to ensure that no one comes in. But the owner was concerned that the guards would also take. He wanted them to be able to warn other people not to come in, but not that they would take themselves. So he pointed one guard who was lame, he wouldn't be able to go and climb up to get the fruits, and one guard who was blind, he doesn't know where the fruits are. And that way, it's win-win. Amar lo chiger l'suma, you came at story time. So the lame said to the blind man, he said, I can see beautiful fruits over there, I just can't get to them. So he says, let's do this. I'll climb on your back, I'll direct you which way to go, and then we'll get the fruits and we'll share them. Win-win. Brilliant idea, no? I have a skill, but I have a lack. You have a skill, but you have a lack. Let's put the two together and we'll be a full person together. So, later on, the owner of the orchard came and said, hey, where did all the delicious fruits go to? My prize ones that I was saving, where are they? So the chiger said, it can't be me, I can't get there, I don't have legs. And the blind man said, it can't be me, I don't even know what you're talking about, I can't see anything. So what did the owner of the field do? He said, okay, come the two of you together. he figured it out. He said, okay, fine. Each of you independently, I'm not going to make a fuss about, but come the two of you together. He put them together and he judged them as one. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the future, when it comes to the time of Yomei Adin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the neshama, put it back inside the guf, and judge as one. Now, we've mentioned this idea before, but I just want to repeat it again. There's a sense of self, an identity, which is neither the body nor the soul. It's certainly not the body by itself. As we see, the body without the soul has no value at all. Just remains dead. And I wouldn't even say it's the animalistic self, because it's hard to say if an animal has a sense of existential self with, you know, morals and values and feeling its own identity. Animals, at least to us, seem to be working more on instinct rather than on, you know, I don't know if we've ever seen an animal go against its instincts. If a lion's running after a deer, We never saw that he like has mercy on the deer and says, I'll let you go this one time. Like, they have instincts, they follow their instincts. On the other hand, although we'd like to say we're just a neshama, if any one of us is realistic, you know, when you go to certain times at the lunch hall, it's hard to claim that you're just a neshama at that moment. Right? And we say, Alokai neshama shenatata bi. So what's that bi? It's certainly not the body, but it's also not the soul. So there's a place of meeting we described. It's like a compound. When you have the body and the soul meeting at a certain place, that's the place where the identity is. The soul by itself is only interested in purity and being close to Hashem. The body by itself is dead, nothing, decaying. The place where they meet, that which joins them, that mafilila sot, that we say in the bracha of Asher Yatzar, which is the wondrous place where they connect together, that's where the sense of self is. And you always, the identity of the person is always the bridge, or really the compound, where those two meet, and you're at, one could say a struggle, right? But I don't want to say struggle, because that implies that there's a conflict between them. And there's not necessarily a conflict between them. They actually can work in harmony. When the body and the soul are fighting, that's an unhealthy situation. The ideal is not that the body is using the neshama to think of great ideas of how to get what it wants, and the body then smothers the soul. And the idea is also not that that the soul rejects the body and says, I wish I didn't have a body, I wish I was just a pure spirit. It's also an unhealthy mode. Rather, the goal is where they work together for a higher goal. Where just like in the mashal, where the soul over here sees what it wants, it has a higher desire, but it's not able to fulfill that desire, so it climbs on the back of the one who's able to walk, and it uses the one who's able to walk, but it's not just using it, the one who's able to walk is also benefiting from this. The one who's walking is able to benefit from the fruit as well. Meaning they're only able to get benefit if they're working in harmony. Each of them has a value, each of them is lacking something. They're not supposed to be enemies. It's not supposed to be the body against the soul and who's going to win. That wouldn't be a Jewish concept. That idea of dividing the spirituality and the physicality, dividing the body and the soul and setting them up as the good force and the evil force and which force is going to win, that's not a Jewish concept. The Jewish concept is they work in harmony and they're supposed to be working in harmony towards the goal of Avodat Hashem. But you need them both. And your sense of self is where you meet. When they're separated, there's no sense of self. The sense of self evaporates. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only be able to relate to you as you again when he puts the two together in the future. Kochot ha-nefesh v'kochot ha-guf shnehem shomrim l'pardes na'e shehu ha-adam v'olamo. So we say that they're both guarding, they're guarding your self, the ani. There's an elusive ani that's there, which is the point of the joining of where they exist together. The only difference is, beautifully, that the body is blind. Right? The body is able to walk, but it's blind. Meaning it doesn't have an idea of direction, doesn't have an idea of higher purpose. It's able to function. The body's role is enabling you to function in this world. But what's the correct way to function? It has no idea. The body would only work on instinct and wouldn't know to direct you in the path that's healthy for you. So therefore it's blind. Kochot ha-nefesh pikchim. The soul aspect of you is able to have clarity and able to see, but has no ability to function. It's limited in its ability to act in this world. And therefore your sense of self is only where the two function together. Ta'avot ha-chayim. I just want to add, the soul's primary force is to be alive and to feel alive and to live life properly. Now, when you're pure, then it will be clear to you that it will be clear to you that life that you're looking for is a life of dveikus with Hashem. Right, but the problem here is that a person develops with time. And I once read a very interesting article about how sight develops. And like how when a child is born, what they're able to see and how blurry things are. And how over a period of months, what that which is very, very blurry becomes clearer, but it's still without color. Until a child, I don't remember their age, but there's a certain age where the eyesight is fully developed. And it was so interesting to me, that concept, how a child is looking but can't see, because their eyes haven't developed and matured purely. So too, our awareness of ourselves at the beginning is very blurry. And even though the neshama is saying, live your life, live your life, live your life, we're not able to interpret that as connect to Hashem when we're very young. Right? The pasuk of Atema Deveikim Bashem Lokachem Chaim Kodachem Ayom is not able to be understood by a young child. Or I would dare to say even a young teenager. More as you become a teenager, and only once you're fully developed then you're able to understand it. But it doesn't mean that there's no will for life and zest for life. There's a great desire to be alive. But because a person who's so young and immature and hasn't clarified things, it's still blurry for him in the eyesight. It's not that his neshama is not functioning, it's fully functioning, but it's not directed. And therefore that zest for life is expressed in other ways. And then in a good case scenario, it will be in childish ways, but not damaging ways. Meaning age appropriate. That a child will be so excited about sports and about his collection and about whatever it is. And that's the neshama. That's the neshama saying, live your life. Collect things. Experience things. Discover things. Learn things. Experience things. The neshama is calling out to you to do what you're supposed to do. But at that age, you're not mature enough yet to know to do that in the right way. So a good case scenario is where the parents give the children a lot of chance to experience everything they need to experience and fulfill their lives and have rich childhoods in a power of way. I mean, not, I say power, I mean like in a neutral way. Meaning not a negative way. It doesn't have to be, and it's probably better not to be, only Torah, Kola, Torah, Kula from that very, very young age. That would be unhealthy as well. Because at that age, the child's not able to experience life. It's not alive for them. They're not mature enough to appreciate it. And if you try and stick a child who's still at the age where he needs to experience life by running and jumping and having fun with friends, and you try and say, well, Torah is everything. Anyone who wastes time of Torah is Gehenna. And therefore, you must be in a masmidim morning, masmidim pre-morning, masmidim afternoon, masmidim post-afternoon and night seder from age 6. You can read, can't you? So now you can read full day Torah. And that won't give the child life. It's true that the child should do that, but not at that age. That's a true way of expressing his life when he's age appropriate, able to appreciate that gives him life. If a person's able to learn Kol Hayom Kulo and it gives him chiyus, it's a bracha. It's a bracha, but it's not true for that child at that age. The way that his neshama expresses himself at that stage is same ideas, experiencing and learning and creating, and but at that age he's more physical than he is knowledgeable, full of knowledge, and therefore it has to be expressed in age appropriate. And they say that if you don't give a child the ability to express his chiyus in age appropriate at that age, then he won't be able to express his chiyus at an older age in the relevant areas. I once heard an amazing story from Rav Yaakovson. Rav Yaakovson was a rebbe that I learned by in Torah Tanefesh, together with Rav Shachatovich. I did my couple of years of learning this topic. So anyway, so they were. He was walking with the mashgiach of his yeshiva, and there were some good boys in the yeshiva who they saw during Seder outside the base medrash making paper boats. And there was a drain that had a little channel that was running along, and this is Bochra yeshiva, right? And they were taking A4 paper. They were making these little paper boats and they were sending them down this little channel in Bnei Brak. You can imagine how much fun they were having. Anyway, so Rav Yaakovson and the Mashgiach walked past and they just looked. They didn't say it, they just looked. And the boys saw the Mashgiach looking and they immediately stopped and ran away and went inside the business. And Rav Yaakovson said, Rebbe, can I ask a question? He said, what brings a Bachur Yeshiva who's good at learning to want to go outside and do this? Why would he waste his time with such a thing? So the Mashgiach said to him, his parents probably didn't let him do that when he was 5 and 6 and 7 years old. So he never had that stage in his life. So you need to live every stage in your life. And if you didn't experience it at the time, then it will demand to be expressed later on. It's an amazing insight. The neshama is expressing itself through you, looking for chiyus at every stage. And you have to give the neshama its age-appropriate chiyus at each stage. And if you do, then when you get to the stage where you're able to learn Torah and fulfill mitzvahs, you will be able to get chiyas through those. Because you've got the chiyas at each stage at the relevant. So the only difference is that the body is blind and the neshama is alive, and the desire for life runs through a person, creates a person with a desire to be healthy and enjoy himself and have fun. And when there's a sakana, then the neshama and the desire for life, which is expressed through the neshama, will guard you and help you. And it will help you warn yourself from things that are going to take away from life. Tavat hamin. Meritzau tanu liyased bayit olid banim. The desire for sexuality, which is unhealthy for it to be expressed too young, is very, very healthy when age appropriately expressed in the right. And that's also coming from the neshama. That the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Sefer Yechezkel is called Cheder HaMitot, the bedroom. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was an image of a male and a female embracing. And when the Goyim came in, we learned this just recently in Daf Yomi, and it was also a Sarkar today. And when the Goyim came in and they saw the image of the male and the female who were embracing, they didn't understand. They said, how could it be that the Jews, whose bracha is a bracha, why would they invest themselves in such a thing? Because from their perspective, the Yetzer HaMin was negative. Because they don't see the two sides meeting as a blessing. They see the two sides meeting as positive and negative. Soul and body, man and woman, two opposite sides, have to separate. And therefore in some religions or some sects within religions, the ideal is not to get married. To separate oneself, because that's the tamei and it's inappropriate. For Judaism, it's pum fakert. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim was an image of a male and a woman embracing. Because the highest level of Kedusha is where the worlds unite. And where there's no conflict between the two sides. And where they're able to work in harmony. And where what seems to be opposing forces are able to be one. And when you have that basis, then the body and the soul function as one, and Asana Kodesh Baruch function as one as well. And that's the ultimate Yichud Hashem. Where we recognize everything in the world is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things which seem like opposing forces are all united under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the soul that's pushing a person towards getting married. Which again, if you don't act age appropriately, it could express itself in a negative way. But it's not. It's still coming from the soul. That desire for life is coming from the soul. In a Torah way that it's expressed, it will be in a healthy way through marriage, with mikveh. So again, the neshama pushes us. And it could push you also in a healthy way to want to earn a living in a healthy way, in a proper way. Avata yeladim, mamritza otanu letapel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us innately a love for children. And it has to be. I mean, raising children is a messy business. Right? If you see how much has to be changed, and how much like you order the house and how messy it is afterwards, no one in their right mind would want to go through with that. But if you didn't love your children, you may not have the patience for it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu instills within a mother and within a father also, a love of a mother more, but a father also, a love of his children, which enables him to overcome the challenge that's involved in raising a child. Because it's aiming towards life, to be able to produce life as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these kochos, these innate kochos. The desire to get married, you don't choose. You discover. The feeling of responsibility that a person has to take care of himself and protect himself, you don't choose. You just discover. The love that a person has for children, you just discover. Now again, it's different people at different levels. But these kind of universal senses that people have overall are ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in order to guide us towards what the goal is, what the plan is. Lamahem shomrim otanu, enenu yodim hem ivrim. But these innate forces, they don't understand why they're doing it. They're like the body, like the blind, able to walk, but not able to see. In the mashal that Chazal gave. Able to walk, not able to see. The body's forces guide you towards, almost instinctively, towards what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do in this world. He wants you to get married, he'll give you a sense to get married. He wants you to raise children, he'll give you a sense to raise children. He wants you to protect and take care of your body, he'll give you a sense. Okay, more and more exciting. I should put it on silent. Figure out how to put it on silent. Okay, yeah, I know. Closer? Oh, no. Buzz. Sound. Silent. Baruch Hashem. That's the body's role, to be silent. These forces, you discover them within yourself. You don't create them. There are things that you develop, but there are skills that you'll discover within yourself, which are your bodily forces, and they will guide you towards what your mission is. But they're blind, and therefore they can be channeled in healthy or unhealthy directions. All of these kochos, the Yetzer HaMin is the most easy example. All of these kochos are true kochos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, but they don't know what they're supposed to be used for. You notice you have them, but you don't know how to use them unless you have someone who may be lame, but it can see and can guide you through. Now, it's not that they're one against the other. They're supposed to work together. Right? The kochot that you have, that energy that you have, that force that you have, that power that you have, that your body has, which as a child is used in play, and as you grow up can be used more responsibly. That's a koach which needs direction, needs to be guided. You're not supposed to follow that by itself. Now, if you follow that by itself, you may come to other conclusions. Survival of the fittest. This is what my body feels like I need to do. That's what I should do. I feel angry. I'm going to shout. And you could come with, if you just use the body's kochos by itself, you may come to justify it as an independent existence and think that if you want to harm someone because that's what you want to do, then you could do that. Because you don't have any guidelines. You're just following the body. That's what happens in the animal world. In the animal world, it's not considered immoral for one animal to kill another animal. That's survival of the fittest. That's the natural order of the world. There's a cycle of life. It's considered moral. Well, not moral. Moral is not relevant. It's just the natural instinct. Because there, it's only the body functioning. With man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the two working in harmony. You need them both. So the body gives you the koach. Hashomer hapikeach hu anashama. Hu ro'e et amatara. He. It's feminine. He yachola letet kivun l'chayenu. Can you imagine how frustrated the neshama is? The neshama knows exactly what you need to do, but can't move. Can't do anything. Mashal amar adam adome. You're in a tank. Right? There's a driver in a tank, and there's someone who can see which direction to go. Two different people. So the driver is giving all the koach. Go, go, go! Which direction? No idea. Has no idea which way to go. There's someone who can see outside the tank. He can see exactly where to go, but he can't push the gas. It only works if they function together. So the guy who's looking is saying, we need to go forward! And he's sleeping. We need to go forward! And he's fast asleep. Have you ever experienced that? Like at 10 to 7? Right? The neshama is screaming to you, this is what we need to do! But the body's fast asleep. It's not an equal partner with you in this. You're not functioning together. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you feel like you're full of energy, you have to function, someone said something to you and you want to respond. And you feel like you can't let that pass, you have to respond. Right? So the body's like ready to go. What's the best thing to say right now? Fast asleep. Fast asleep. But the body's not patient enough to wait. So it says something that it always regrets. Always regrets. Right? If you say something like from anger or from tension, you're likely gonna regret that. A wise man once said to me, whenever I'm angry, I stay quiet. 2 days later, then I call the person that I wanted to talk over to, and then I say what I had to say, and it comes over totally differently. I said, that's wise. He said, well, I learned from my experiences. I made a lot of enemies earlier in my life, and I would always just say what was on my mind, and I had to apologize and come back, and it was just terrible. So I learned, however much I want to say now, keep quiet. So the body wants to go, energy, power. But the neshama has to be an equal partner. Only when they function together, the driver, who has all the energy and ability to move, together with the insight. You have to use them both as a partnership. The neshama sees the goal, is able to give guidelines, to give you ideas of what to strive towards, who you're serving, what you should be accomplishing in life. And that's the goal of the neshama, to protect you. In this example, the pardes was the self. And you need both guards to function, to give each other guidelines of how to function well. Otherwise, our kochos will be wasted. We'll take good energy, but without guideline, it will be wasted. We won't be able to realize how to use it appropriately. This happened to me more than one occasion. I left the key in my car on. The engine wasn't running, but the key was on. Over Shabbos. come Sunday morning. Nothing's happening. What's wrong? What went wrong? I left the key in the car. So what was wrong? So it was giving energy to the car. But it was a time where I wasn't driving. So it was being wasted. So what happens then? No koach. Meaning if you use the energy without insight, you feel worn out. You don't feel like fulfilled. You feel worn out. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you've played a game. Play a game. On the computer, on the phone, right? And then you finish the game and you feel worn out. Why do you feel worn out? You were relaxing, you were sitting down. You're feeling worn out because you finished and then what? So what? So what did you do? What did you accomplish? What did you gain from this? There's a moment of satisfaction that, yes, I won the game. But then you kind of review your life. You say, okay, I've spent tens of hours playing this game. I was being done chas chus there. Yeah? Tens of hours playing this game. And now, like, what's going on in my life? You know, where am I? What's happening? What's going on? And you feel drained. Because when you use your bodily energy for something which is not accomplishing the goal of the neshama, so you're acting externally. But then when you notice and you pay attention to yourself, you realize that acting wasn't getting you anywhere. It was wasted energy. And you feel drained. Because only energy that gears you towards the soul, which is your life's mission, something which is productive, that gives you energy which is satisfying. Because it's purposeful. But any energy which you put in, which is not accomplishing anything for you, will, even though you're active, will make you feel more drained than it will productive. Because it's not the body and the soul working together. It was the soul was sleeping and the body was functioning. And so to the opposite. If the soul's thinking of ideas and thinking of creative ideas and planning and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, the way it's going to be, and plan. But you don't do anything. Just dreaming of these great ideas. By the time you finish that, you feel worn out. Why? Because the same thing happens. The soul was pushing. All those ideas were great. If you don't act on them, then they vaporize. They evaporate. You feel it's worthless again. Because only when you're functioning, the body and the soul in harmony, you feel fulfilled. Because that's who you are. That's what you are. That's what you're here for. You're here to use the two in conjunction as a compound to function with them together. So either of them that are used fully without the other one, you'll feel empty. Why are you feeling empty? Because an empty person feels empty when they're not fulfilling their mission. A person who's fulfilling his mission will feel fulfilled, sustained, satisfied on some level. But when you're using just one without the other, you'll feel drained. When you use them together in a healthy way, then you'll feel satisfied because you're on truth, you're on a true path. But the soul's miskein, mamash miskein, can't do anything. It's looking out from the vision and saying, we need to go here, but it can't push the pedal. It can't function in this world by itself. It can give direction, but it's hopeless if there's not a partner working together with it. And therefore it needs the body to be working in harmony. So we're beginning to get more of a picture of how the body and the soul work together. We've got a clear understanding that it's not a fight. A. And you're not supposed to be aligned with one. That's point B. Right? Rather, working in harmony with both together is the goal. And when you have a clarity in this topic, you'll be able to more understand who you are and where you're functioning with that balance of those two factors together. Yisroel Koach.